Detroit has long been a destination for immigrant communities, dating way back to even before Henry Ford began the first automotive assembly line factory. But as we well know, life between these diverse communities hasn't always been easy. Now as then, communication and life could get a little complicated, a little isolated as well. And in response to that, the Concert of Colors came into being. You might have heard Ishmael Ahmed, our own WDET music host and the founder of the Concert of Colors, on this morning on Detroit Today. They had a great conversation. And we're going to be diving, though, into the long history of the Concert of Colors as it nears its 30th anniversary. Journalist Martina Guzman is joining me live in studio. Good afternoon, Martina.
Hey, Amanda.
So good to have you here. So you just finished up a huge feature for the Metro Times, which people can go and read over at metrotimes.com about this incredible history of the Concert of Colors, because it is so much more than just a concert. It is a multiple venue, so many hundreds of artists who have played over the years and dozens of artists who play every single year, and that is going on right now through July 24th. But this event began because of a huge need in the community for communication, as we said, between different diverse communities here in Detroit in the wake of the 1967 uprising. So tell me about, in your article, how you go into that long history and why, the deeper roots of the Concert of Colors.
Yeah, well, when I started this project, I didn't really realize how deep it would go or the history of it, quite frankly. I think we all know the Concert of Colors as this incredible concert where world music plays on various stages throughout several days. And a lot of us go back to the days of Shane Park, where we just remember it as this incredible music festival. But when I really started to dig deep and to interview people, I was sort of just blown away, surprised at the conscious effort by community leaders to take communities of color and bring them together. And in the aftermath of the 1967 rebellion, the uprising, community leaders understood, or they knew, that in order for this not to happen again, they needed to bring ethnic and the diverse communities in Southeast Michigan together. And at the same time, an organization called New Detroit, that still exists, it's a race and justice organization, was created. And that leaders of that organization, who at the time was Shirley Stancato, began to invite ethnic communities to a monthly meeting. And this was the Chinese community, the Puerto Rican community, the Mexican community, the Black community. I mean, all of these different communities together. And 30 leaders would come together monthly at New Detroit, and they would discuss social and economic issues and what was happening in their communities, what was happening in terms of art, what was happening in terms of culture. And then at the end, whoever was hosting, one of the cultural communities would host monthly, would break bread with everyone else and bringing ethnic food that they would share and build relationships and get to know one another in a way that didn't exist before.
Yeah, so that is such a powerful vision, such a powerful event that you're describing here, every month that happening.
For years.
For years. So, specifically, I'd like to get into, before that, because we have a little bit of a different view now, even though things are definitely not easy and there is isolation. We are more, I think, able to kind of go into different communities. We share different food. I mean, there feels like there's more communication than there used to be. When you were interviewing some of these folks who were maybe originally at those meetings at New Detroit, what had things been like before? What had they been yearning for that they found there?
Well, I think what they were yearning for was this sort of intentionality that once they were together, they really decided to bring. And sort of Marshall Montgomery Favors, who was there from the very beginning, at what point says, we were intentional about bringing people together. And she says this, and it's true, and she said, diversity doesn't happen organically. It doesn't happen organically in the way people think. That in order for people to come together, you have to have purpose and you have to have intention. And so that's what New Detroit did by bringing everyone together. And you have to understand, that was that's not radical now, but that was a radical idea in the late 1960s, early 1970s, of all of these community leaders coming together in that way.
Yeah, it is such a beautiful vision and such an incredible event that you're describing. And it really changed relationships between the communities here in Detroit for decades, leading then eventually into the Concert of Colors. But it didn't start right away. The Concert of Colors began in 1993. So take us into that scene through the 1980s and into the early 90s and some of the big events that happened that the communities that were built around this New Detroit event what they faced and how they handled it, hopefully together.
Yeah, well, there were several pivotal moments. And, you know, we just recently celebrated the death and the life of Vincent Chin. And that was sort of one of the pivotal moments here in Detroit. And there was another pivotal moment, and that was the killing of Malice Green, where the racial tension was incredibly high. And you have to understand, at the same time, while ethnic communities were growing, there was a large influx of Latinos and Mexicans in Southwest Detroit. There was a massive influx of like Chinese and South Asians, but there was also an influx of the Arab community. At the same time, there was white flight massively leaving the city of Detroit. So all of those things happening at the same time sort of created this kind of pressure cooker situation where, you know, some communities didn't want to be involved with other communities. And that led to the continuation of the work of New Detroit and this cultural exchange network, as it would soon be called. And they would start having events in communities, Amanda, not like we know it now as in either Shane Park or in Midtown. They would start having festivals in the different communities around Detroit to continue to do this work. And then ultimately, that would lead to the Concert of Colors at Shane Park as we know it now.
A beautiful event. Hundreds and hundreds of artists, thousands of artists probably at this point, have played the Concert of Colors, which again is happening at various locations around Midtown Detroit. Starting kicked off this weekend, we'll go into July 27th. You can go to theconcertofcolors.com to see that whole event lineup. But take us back into the birth of the Concert of Colors at Shane Park. And I do want to go back to this. This is a terrible event in the history of the city, was the death of Malice Green, but a lot of people aren't as familiar with it now. It was 30 years ago, but he was an armed black man killed by Detroit police officers, brutally killed, that made national news. It put the spotlight on Detroit in a way that was absolutely awful for us and for the community. But this coalition coming together to kind of handle this spotlight on the community that happened after this and sort of heal some of these relations, hopefully, and sort of support the black community, too. Kind of talk about what New Detroit, what their part in it in the aftermath with the Concert of Colors then beginning at Shane Park in 1993.
Yeah, well, I think Shirley Stancato in the article has this amazing quote. And she said, you know, and I quote, it says, "You would be amazed at the things that didn't happen because we were working, because of all of the cultural communities coming together." And she said, that's the kind of work that helps and develop community relationships. It says you sustain those relationships through tough times, and that's the concept around the Concert of Colors. She also says there was no uprising or anything around black Detroiters and Arab-owned gas stations where there was a period of extreme tension. And, you know, this was the work. Way before the music festival, way before the artists and, you know, Ray Charles and everyone coming on stage, this was the work of the Cultural Exchange Network. This was the Concert of Colors in its essence. And then in 1993, an opportunity arises. You know, this group that met monthly were already sharing food, they were sharing music, they were sharing cultural events. And the city of Detroit had just built what was Shane Park at the time, now known as the Aretha. And someone from the city of Detroit reached out to the Cultural Exchange Network and said, "Hey, we have this venue. Do you want to work on something together where we can put music for the people and for the community?"
And I meant to open up the phone lines earlier, but we got to talking. And this is such a vital and such an important history of what we now know as this beautiful celebration of culture and everything. But I would love to hear from listeners, what is one of your favorite memories of being at the Concert of Colors? Were you there at the beginning in 1993 at Shane Park? Were you at some of those community organizations organized by our own Ishmael Ahmed and the Concert of Colors way back in the day? 313-577-1019, 313-577-1019. Would love to talk to you live on Culture Shift about your memories of being at the Concert of Colors. Give us a call right now to join the conversation. We've got Martina Guzman, a journalist here at WDET, or a former journalist at WDET, now a wonderful journalist out in the community. 313-577-1019 is the number to call to share your memories of the Concert of Colors. All right, Martina, take us into when the event began at Shane Park. It was in the early 1990s that then-Mayor Coleman Young had envisioned this amphitheater that was then built that became Shane Park, now the Aretha, a great place to see music. When you talk to some of the folks who were there at that first concert, what did they say about what it took to organize that and how it felt while it was happening?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that people may remember or some people don't know about Coleman Young, Mayor Young of the city of Detroit, was that he was a huge proponent of cultural communities. He fundamentally believed that Detroit was greater if cultural communities were present and came together. And it was under his administration that we had the ethnic festivals at Hart Plaza. It was under his administration that they, you know, envisioned an amphitheater along the Detroit riverfront that would rival venues that could have this kind of music and really celebrate the city of Detroit. And so at the time, Ishmael Ahmed, who had a long history of representing bands and organizing cultural and music events, and said, hey, do you want to put music on at Shane Park? And, you know, the first year the first year there was a budget of roughly $100,000. And the people headlining that year were Afrobeat, Simone Shaheen, Bernie Worrell, Musa Suso. The Orchestra Caché, and it's just a few bands. It's nothing like the amount we know now. So it started out light, but quickly grew.
Yeah, I want to get into one of the artists that has played before that I know Martina, you and I both love, Hugh Masekela, who passed away a few years ago, unfortunately, but he did perform at the Concert of Colors, I think, a few times.
Yeah.
Let's get into some Grazing the Grass here.
Yeah.
Masekela, the wonderful trumpeter. He was performed at the Concert of Colors many times over the years. We're talking with Martina Guzman, journalist here in Detroit, about her new feature in the Metro Times, 30 years of the Concert of Colors going into the incredible work through the communities that this event has provided. And we're going to go to a caller right now. Indigo in Detroit is joining us right now on Culture Shift. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, very good to have you on air. So you have a great memory to share with us.
I do. It would have to be seeing Miles Davis. I think that was like the most memorable and exciting moment that I've ever experienced with the Concert of Colors. And it was at Shane Park. We were up close and comfortable, and he never said a mumbling word throughout the whole concert. He just played. It was pretty cool.
What year was that? Do you remember? Did you say?
I don't know, but it had to have been the early 90s. It was awesome. I think I saw Fela. Not Fela, but maybe his son, one of his sons.
Femi Kuti.
Yes. But Miles Davis, that was a treat. And I know he passed away shortly after that.
Oh, so, wow. I mean, just incredible. Yeah. If I had that story, I would probably tell everyone that story when I first met them. Like, did you know I saw Miles Davis?
Yep. At the Concert of Colors.
At the Concert of Colors.
I'll have to look up and see what year. I'm sure your guests could probably look back and find out what year that was.
But she might know. Yeah, we got some Miles for you right now, Indigo. Thank you so much for calling Culture Shift.
Thanks for having me.
I think you can. Davis here on Culture Shift. We're taking your calls, talking to Martina Guzman about the long, important history of the Concert of Colors, so much more than just a cultural event. So many great artists who have played, but it really brought together these diverse communities here in Detroit. I'd love to hear your best Concert of Colors memories. 313-577-1019. 313-577-1019 is the number to call to join the conversation here on WDET's Culture Shift. Okay, Martina, so we talked about a lot of the coalition building. We talked about that long history of the event before it was even an event. But we also have to talk about, again, some of the incredible artists who have played and the incredible merging and the knowledge that people have gained of different artists from genres and communities they would not have otherwise. 30 years of this event now.
30 years of world music, 30 years of jazz, 30 years of local musicians and artists. I mean, people remember like the duo Blackman and Arnold that played there, the local orchestra, Inspiracion. But there was like Simone Shaheen, Andy and Jerry Gonzalez, the Iguanas, the Peking Orchestra, the Machita Orchestra, Hugh Masekela, Bo Diddley, Susanna Baca. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of the kind of music that Detroiters were exposed to. I mean, it was a happening, you know. All of the work for years of those monthly gatherings of community leaders had finally paid off, and it had turned into this beautiful happening of ethnic communities and people of color and everyone coming together at that mound in Shane Park. And I remember someone I interviewed, I wanted to interview community people as well as the leaders who were involved. And in the story, Carla Robinson says to me, she said, you know, I would take my kids onto that grassy mound in the back, and she said, and I would dance and listen to the music, and I knew that people were watching my kids. And when I saw other moms dancing and having a good time, I was watching their kids. And that was the kind of community that the Concert of Colors created. And it was intentional. It was openly open and accessible to families. And that was not an accident. That was actually purposeful. And the fact that it was free meant that. And that's a critical point of the Concert of Colors. So the free part allowed people who couldn't take their children to sort of expensive events and pay. I mean, having children is expensive. You take them out and it cost a lot of money. And this was an event where you could bring your whole family and it was free for the community.
Well, I think one of the, we just want to say the times I've been to the Concert of Colors, it's been just, everyone is so joyous. It's like so happy and friendly and wonderful. And there's so much good food and good music. And it's just a completely different vibe than a lot of other festivals that I've been to. And I think that free aspect and that children aspect and having folks who are maybe a little bit older down there as well, it brings this sort of gentleness and this community vibe that most festivals just don't achieve because of their cultures and because of that, you know, that price impact. We'd love to hear you right now on the show. If you have great memories of the Concert of Colors, you can give us a call and share them at 313-577-1019, 313-577-1019. Got a few more minutes here with journalist Martina Guzman, who's written a big story in this week's Metro Times about the 30-year history of the Concert of Colors. What I keep going back to in this conversation, Martina, is again those beginnings at New Detroit of the communities coming together to talk about issues, but then to break bread, which is another big part I think of the Concert of Colors, the sharing of culture and food, and not just music and art, but food, which really does, that's what brings people together most of the time.
There are two universal languages, food and music, and the people who came together fundamentally understood that. And, you know, this was a concert that it was like sort of the only festival in the city whose guiding principle, like the essence of the festival, was diversity. It wasn't about all of these other things. It was the reason they brought people together. It was the reason that they set out to do this. And it would music would break down stereotypes. Food would bring people come together, would make people come together. And so these guiding principles is what created that vibe, that really special vibe that the Concert of Colors has. And it's unique. And I would have to say that Concert of Colors is probably one of maybe 8 to 10 festivals globally, not in the U.S., globally, that has this kind of lineup and this kind of world music sort of intention, and that brings ethnic cultures together.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that, because I know you interviewed a lot of folks who are part of the festival, a lot of community folks as well over the years, but I got to imagine for the artists, these world touring important acts that have come through to play the concert in college, come to Detroit, that they have been really affected by the difference in this festival versus a lot of other ones they might be playing at around the world.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a great part in the article where I interview Don Was. And I was sort of surprised that, you know, I thought he's so busy. I mean, this is the man who produces albums for the Rolling Stones and is the president of Blue Note Records. And he gave me a really significant time slot because he felt that it was so important to talk about why this, what this festival means to him. And he said, you know, I've traveled all over the world. I've played and worked with, you know, he just rattles off the list of incredible, important musicians that he's worked with. And he said, but the vibe at the Concert of Colors was nothing that I'd ever experienced before.
Wow.
And so the first night he comes, he meets Ismail Ahmed, who's then, you know, sort of running around organizing everything. And he's coming in as the bass player for Cheb Khaled. And after the event, they all go out to a restaurant to eat. And he and Ismail Ahmed have all of this sort of like union organizing and all of this stuff in common. And he leaves, he takes off, and he said, but that feeling never left him, that feeling of community, that vibe that the Concert of Colors had. And so he calls Ismail Ahmed up a few years later, and he's like, hey, man, I want to come and I want to play. And Ismail Ahmed, of course, being the person he is, sure, come on down. And that would be the birth of like the Don Was All-Star Review. Wow. But it was because, he said, that the musicianship, the level of musicianship in Detroit was so high, you know. And he said, you know, Blue Note Records is home to some of the most important jazz albums ever. And he said, and you go on those albums and the number of Detroit musicians who have played on those albums far surpasses any other city.
Wow.
He said, and that's what Detroit has.
Wow.
And I mean, if you've ever been to the Don All-Star Review, he handpicks musicians every year who he considers to be the best to sort of work on this beautiful concert.
Yeah, he's got his All-Star Review happening this year again as well. It's a tribute to Iggy Pop and the Stooges, including Mick Collins, Nadir Omawale, Scott Daly, Carolyn Strijo, and so many other great artists. Again, Concert Colors happening, kicked off this past weekend, will be continuing to July 24th. Go to concertcolors.com to check out the full schedule and all the details. All right, Martina, we're going to be wrapping up with some Ray Charles, who has played. You wanted to play some Ray Charles on the show here because he has played the Concert of Colors.
Oh, I mean,
which is incredible.
Ray Charles.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. I mean, the list is endless of people who have played. But I wanted to make one more last point before closing. And that is that, you know, the Concert of Colors through the years, while they have kept that concert free for the community, it has not been without struggle. They have multiple times through the decades lost all of their funding. And have had to, with very little money, you know, put on this festival for people. And they always pay the band members and they always pay people who contribute and who work on it. And it was the insistence on the organizers to keep it free for the community and for people who could otherwise not afford to go hear music like that. And I think that that's a really important point of the work that was done for the Concert of Colors.
All right, thank you so much. Martina Guzman is a journalist here in Detroit, a fantastic journalist. You can read her piece about 30 years of the Concert of Colors at metrotimes.com. Martina, thanks for coming in today.
Oh, you're welcome.